Brilliance Audio presents Graveyard of Memories by Barry Eisler, performed by the author. If there's one lesson I learned early on during the decades I've spent in this business, it's that of all the qualities that distinguish a hard target from everyone else, among the most important is self-control. Yes, you have to be able to think like the opposition, which enables you to spot the ambush. And yes, you have to be able to take immediate violent action in case, oops, your ability to spot the ambush fails. And yes, sentiment is a weakness. But fundamental to the rest is self-control. Because if you're not in control of yourself, someone else is, most likely an enemy. And in my business, an enemy isn't someone who wants the promotion you're after, or who covets your corner office, or who wants to beat you on the tennis court or golf course or display a better car in his driveway. In my business, an enemy is someone determined to end your life, and probably with the means to bring it about. But there's another lesson too, one that took longer to learn and that, in the end, is even more important. You have to live with what you've done. Not the killing as such. If you couldn't do that, you wouldn't have gotten into the business in the first place. You wouldn't have been able to. No, I'm talking about the consequences of killing, to your conscience, your relationships, your future, your life. If you knew at the outset what you understood at the end, would you make the same choices, take the same risks, accept the same sacrifices? No, no one would. You can't appreciate the weight of that burden until after you've assumed it. You can't comprehend what it really means. But in Tokyo in 1972, I didn't know any of that. I was going on guts, instinct, and youthful reflexes. The real hard target skills came later, and acquiring them almost killed me. I was a CIA bagman at the time, part of a cash-for-contracts program that got exposed in 1975. Google Lockheed bribery scandals, and you can find out all about it. Well, not all about it. A lot more would have come out if I hadn't been on cleanup detail. You have to remember, the history the powers that be feed you always excludes what they managed to bury, or whom. My case officer was a guy named Sean McGraw, a cantankerous Korean War vet and old Asia hand. Christians in Action had some Japanese politicians on the payroll, an army acquaintance had told me, handing me McGraw's number, and they needed someone with an Asian face and local language skills to handle the cash. I had just returned to the States from Vietnam, having left the military under a cloud, the origins of which I was able to understand only years later. My mother, the American half of the marriage, had just died. I had no brothers or sisters, and America felt even less like a home than it had when my mother had taken me there at 8 years old, after my father had been killed in the street riots that rocked Tokyo in the summer of 1960. Japan hardly felt like a home either, but what other prospects did I have? Whether it was fate, or circumstance, or just bad luck, a lead to the secret world represented my path of least resistance.